So imagine you're putting a single item into your online shopping cart, right?
Okay.
And the price tag on this item is $249,999.
That is quite the shopping spree.
Right. I mean, you take a breath, you hit buy, and you just wait. But instead of, an instant download link popping up or a sleek cardboard box showing up on your porch a couple of days later,
Yeah.
your purchase actually triggers like a team of cryptographers, a 72-hour thermal stress test, and literally a fleet of heavy freight trucks. So, welcome to the deep dive.
It really is a checkout experience that completely shatters how we think about buying enterprise software today.
It really does. Because today, our mission for this deep dive is to explore the contents of a highly confidential internal risk document and its corresponding, frankly, just shocking enterprise WooCommerce product page.
Yeah, that product page is something else.
It's wild. We are looking at a $250,000 piece of hardware and software called the Sovereign Forge Digital Twin and Manufacturing Package. And what we're going to uncover for you listening right now is how the absolute cutting edge of heavy manufacturing, so defense contractors, bioprocessing plants, industrial robotics, how they are actively, purposefully rejecting the cloud.
Which is huge.
Yeah, they are literally pulling the plug on the internet to build these hyper-localized, impenetrable AI fortresses.
And it's such a fascinating pivot, really, because if you look at the last decade, the entire narrative around Industry 4.0 has been all about connectivity.
Right, put everything online.
Exactly. Put everything on the cloud, aggregate your data globally, let big tech servers handle all the heavy lifting. That was the gold standard.
Okay, let's unpack this
Yeah.
because why go backwards? I'm looking at this risk register from the source material,
Yeah.
and I'm genuinely struggling to understand the logic here.
Well, it's counterintuitive at first.
It really is. We are constantly told, the cloud is the future, it's infinite computing power. So why on earth would a massive defense contractor spend $250,000 to just rip out their internet connection and go back to on-premise servers?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like trading a brand new smartphone for like a massive steel filing
It
cabinet.
does sound like that, yeah. But to understand the why, we really have to look at the dual existential threats that these massive operations are facing right now.
Okay.
And the source material explicitly lays them out. So the first major threat is what they're calling cloud robotics latency.
Latency, like when a web page takes too long to load.
It's a similar concept, yeah, but the stakes are, well, they're entirely different. When we talk about cloud latency and heavy manufacturing, we aren't talking about a spinning buffering wheel on your screen.
Right, because reading through this document, I think the best way I could visualize this for you, the listener, is to think about playing a really fast-paced multiplayer video game.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, but with a really bad lagging internet connection. So you hit the button on your controller to make your character jump. The signal travels to a server, across the country, and then half second later, your character finally jumps.
Right, which is super annoying. Super annoying. But if your character misses a jump, I mean, you just restart the level. No big deal.
Exactly. But in the context of the Sovereign Forge, we aren't talking about digital avatars here.
No.
We are talking about a multi-ton, fully autonomous forklift cruising down a factory aisle at high speed.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So if that forklift relies on an external cloud API to process a LiDAR sensor reading, right? And it needs that to tell its brakes to engage.
Right.
If there's a momentary network lag, like even just a 300-millisecond hiccup on a public server, it misses a brake command in the real world.
That is terrifying.
It is, because that's a kinetic consequence. That means physical destruction of machinery or, far worse, catastrophic human injury.
Wow. Okay, so latency isn't just an inconvenience in this context, it's an active physical danger.
Yes, that
But the
again.
document hints that safety is only part of the motivation here, right?
Yeah, what's fascinating here is that the physical danger is arguably secondary to the other massive threat driving that $250,000 price tag.
Corporate espionage. I mean, this is the ultimate intellectual property vulnerability.
And that's because of the specific clients buying this package.
Precisely. Just think about who actually needs this level of infrastructure.
Right, defense contractors.
Exactly. If you are a defense contractor manufacturing, say, next generation aerospace components, or a pharmaceutical company synthesizing a highly classified biological compound,
Your data is everything.
your CAD files, your 3D models, your exact heat tolerances, production rates, those are your most valuable assets. You absolutely cannot risk sending that proprietary telemetry up to an external big tech server in Virginia or Oregon.
Because the moment it leaves the building.
The moment that data leaves your building's physical footprint, it is vulnerable. It's vulnerable to interception by competitors or, you know, even nation-state actors.
Which perfectly brings us to the ultimate selling point of the Sovereign Forge. The document calls it island mode.
Island mode, yeah.
Which means it is 100% air-gapped from the macro internet, meaning there is zero physical or wireless egress to the outside world.
None at all.
It's a concept they brand as absolute production sovereignty. You own the machines, you own the data, and literally none of it ever phones home.
It is a digital fortress. But, you know, here is the massive technical hurdle with that.
Okay, what is it?
To run a fortress of that magnitude, to process millions of data points locally without relying on those massive external cloud server farms, you need an incredibly powerful localized brain, and it has to be sitting right there on the factory floor.
So we've officially cut the cord to the cloud. What actually arrives in those transit crates to replace it? Because I'm looking at the specs for this Forge brain, and I have to admit I'm a bit lost in the hardware jargon here.
It gets pretty technical, yeah.
It does. It says the core consists of two high-capacity Sentry Pro Forge Edition clusters.
Right.
And they are rack-mount 4U units with dual localized AI GPUs and 128 gigabytes of VRAM per node.
That is a lot of words.
It is. What does all of that actually mean in plain English?
Well, let's break that down because it really is staggering power. So rack mount 4U just means it's a standard thick metal chassis designed to slide into an industrial server rack.
Okay.
It's about 7 inches tall, built like an absolute tank to survive a dusty, vibrating factory environment.
Makes sense.
But the 128 gigabytes of VRAM, that's the real star here. VRAM is video random access memory.
Oh.
It's the incredibly fast short-term memory that graphics processing units, or GPUs, use to render complex visual spaces.
Just to give some context, a high-end gaming computer at home, what does that usually have?
A great gaming PC might have, say, 16 gigabytes of VRAM.
Right.
This system has 128 per node.
Okay, wait, hold on. Why does a factory floor need that much video memory? I mean, they aren't rendering a Hollywood blockbuster movie next to a conveyor belt.
Actually, they kind of are, but they're rendering something far more complex than a movie. All of that massive localized computing power is dedicated to one incredibly intensive task.
Which?
Rendering the digital twin.
Okay, I saw this term all over the product page. What exactly is a digital twin?
So a digital twin is a live, perfectly accurate, three-dimensional digital simulation of the entire physical factory.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. But it's not just like a static 3D map or an architectural blueprint. It was a living, breathing entity.
Oh, wow.
It updates in real time, matching every single movement, every temperature fluctuation in a boiler, every subtle change in a conveyor belt speed that's happening in the real world.
So it's basically like a mirror dimension of the factory, actively running inside those heavy-duty server racks.
That's a great way to visualize it, honestly. And the source document gives a brilliant use case for why this is so revolutionary for these massive operations.
I'd love an example.
Okay, so imagine an industrial engineer wanting to optimize production. In a traditional setup, tweaking a massive machine speed is a huge risk.
Right, you don't want to break anything.
Exactly. You change a parameter on, say, line 2, and you basically cross your fingers hoping it doesn't cause a physical bottleneck down the line. But with the Sovereign Forge, that engineer can stand at a terminal and tweak that parameter on the simulated line 2.
Oh, they run a simulation inside the digital twin first.
Exactly. And because the AI has mapped the entire facility's physical and temporal logic, it instantly predicts the downstream impact.
That's incredible.
The engineer can literally see that speeding up line 2 will actually cause an overflow in the agricultural intake silos like 20 minutes later.
So they see the disaster before it happens.
Yes. They learn this and they can adjust for it before a single piece of physical machinery is ever touched. It is completely risk-free predictive optimization.
That is just wild. Yeah. But, you know, thinking about it, it raises a huge, glaring logistical problem. Yeah, so we've established this massive, isolated AI brain sitting on the factory floor, simulating everything perfectly. Mm-hmm. But a brain in a jar can't do anything on its own.
Right.
It needs a nervous system to feel the body. So how on earth does a cutting-edge AI actually talk to the physical machines? Especially because, looking at this risk register, they explicitly flag legacy machinery incompatibility.
Oh, yeah, that's a massive issue.
Right. because some of these factories are running on heavy iron that was literally built in the 1990s.
This is honestly the single biggest hurdle in modernizing heavy industry today. You have massive steel stamping presses or milling machines that are absolute workhorses. I mean, they run 24/7.
But they are entirely dumb.
Exactly. They don't have IP addresses. They don't have Wi-Fi cards.
Right. The analogy I was thinking of for this was, it's like trying to teach a 30-year-old rotary phone how to send a text message with emojis.
That is exactly what it's like.
You have this brilliant digital brain, but the machinery only speaks analog. So how does the Sovereign Forge bridge that gap without, you know, replacing millions of dollars of legacy equipment?
Well, it does it through sheer brute force hardware deployment. The package includes 250 DIN rail industrial form and micro nodes.
Okay, stop right there. What is a DIN rail?
Ah, right. So a DIN rail is just a standard metal strip that you find inside the electrical cabinets of industrial machines pretty much all over the world.
Okay, so it's a standard mount?
Yeah, it's a universal mounting system. So these micronodes are designed to physically snap right into the existing electrical guts of these old machines.
Oh, wow.
And what they do is they act as real-time translators. The document mentions they connect to older protocols like Siemens, Allen Bradley, or Modbus PLCs.
Which are what exactly?
Those are just the old rudimentary computer languages that have run factory assembly lines since the 80s and 90s.
Okay, but the document also says these nodes include analog current and voltage readers, specifically 4 to 20 milliamp signals. And I'm lost again. Why are we reading raw voltage?
Well, this is where your rotary phone analogy actually perfectly explains the solution.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because in old factories, sensors didn't send nice packets of digital data. If a water tank was getting too hot, a temperature sensor would just send a raw electrical current down a copper wire.
Just a physical zap of electricity.
Exactly. Say exactly 12 milliamps of electricity. And that goes to a dial on a control board. The Sovereign Forge micronodes physically wire into those old copper lines. They take that raw physical voltage, read it, and then digitize it.
So it's literally like having a bilingual translator physically watching the rotary dial spin, reading the numbers, and then instantly typing them into a modern smartphone so the AI can understand it.
Exactly. It literally gives the AI an electrical pulse reading of a machine that entirely predates the internet.
That's amazing.
But getting the data translated is only step one.
Right. You still have to send it somewhere.
You still have to get that newly digitized data across a noisy, massive factory floor back to the central forge brain, and you have to do it without running thousands of miles of new Ethernet cables.
Which seems impossible, because factories are basically giant metal cages.
They really are.
They are filled with electromagnetic interference and moving steel. They destroy normal wireless signals. I mean, I can barely get Wi-Fi in my kitchen if the microwave is running.
All right, so imagine that on an industrial scale. Which brings us to the wireless canopy. To make this whole nervous system function, the package deploys 40 Nomad forge points.
Okay.
Now, these are not your typical home internet routers. This is an ultra-low latency private 5G and Wi-Fi 7 network designed explicitly to penetrate heavy machinery interference.
How does it do that?
They use specific industrial frequency bands that basically bounce around the heavy iron rather than being absorbed by it. It creates this invisible, unbreakable web across the entire facility, ensuring that everything from those stationary micronodes to the moving robots never loses connection to the brain.
Okay, so let's take stock for a second. We have the legacy machines physically wired up with translators. We have the private 5G canopy bouncing signals all through this metal cage. And we have the hyper-powerful forge brain rendering the digital twin. So the nervous system is fully active.
Yes, it is.
But what happens when things go wrong? Because the source material gives some kinetic examples of this system reacting to danger that honestly read like science fiction.
They really do. And this is where that deliberate rejection of the cloud and that intense focus on latency really proves its worth. Because when things go wrong in heavy manufacturing, they go wrong in milliseconds.
Right. And the document details something I'm calling the 12 millisecond reflex.
Ah, yes.
So the Forge package deploys 15 standard Sentry Pro Edge controllers directly onto the factory floor. Now, I need you to explain this to me, because if the central forge brain is so powerful, why do we need these extra edge controllers scattered around the floor? Isn't that just redundant?
It sounds redundant, yeah, but it's actually all about survival reflexes. Think about human biology for a second.
Okay.
If you touch a hot stove, The pain signal doesn't travel all the way up your arm into your brain, wait for your brain to process it, and then send a signal back down to your hand to pull away.
Right, that would take way too long.
Exactly, you'd be severely burned. Your body actually has a localized reflex arc in your spinal cord that pulls your hand back instantly. The edge controllers are essentially the factory's spinal cord.
Oh, wow. Okay, so how does that play out on the floor?
Well, imagine a massive CNC machine. So a computer-controlled drill or cutting tool shaping a piece of aerospace titanium.
Got it.
A vibration sensor on the machine's spindle detects a tiny anomalous frequency. It's vibrating slightly off its normal rhythm, which indicates a ball bearing is actively cracking under the pressure.
Okay, so in a normal cloud-based system, that vibration data has to travel out of the factory to a server hundreds of miles away, be analyzed, and then an emergency stop command gets sent back.
Right.
And we already established that it takes too long.
Way too long. But with the Sovereign Forge, that local edge controller analyzes the data instantly. It determines the bearing is failing and triggers a physical GPIO relay to halt the press.
Okay, stop right there. What is a GPIO relay? Because the document just states it like it's obvious to everyone.
Sorry, yes. A GPIO relay general purpose input output is essentially a raw physical electrical switch controlled by the computer. So instead of sending a complex line of software code asking the machine to please stop its current program, the edge controller literally cuts the electrical circuit. It physically snaps the connection open.
Wow.
It's a digital brain pulling a physical emergency brake. And it does all of this in exactly 12 milliseconds.
12 milliseconds. I mean, you blink your eye and it takes about 300 milliseconds.
Right.
So in a fraction of a single blink, the system realizes a machine is about to tear itself apart, completely bypasses the software, and physically cuts the power. Catastrophic failure prevented.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's not just about stopping machines dead in their tracks either. It's about fluidly moving them. The spatial autonomy of the system is absolutely staggering.
Yeah, let's talk about the autonomous vehicles.
So the package includes 20 Nomad fleet kits that integrate directly into the CAN bus of automated guided vehicles, or AGVs.
And the CAN bus is, it's the internal computer network of a vehicle, right?
Yeah.
Like the same way my car knows when a door is left open.
Exactly. It taps directly into the forklift's nervous system. And you pair that with 15 Vault Warden LIDAR arrays.
LIDAR, okay.
Now, these aren't just security cameras. LIDAR uses millions of laser pulses every single second to actively map the factory in 3D in real time. It creates this volumetric mesh of the entire physical space.
Like a constant 3D scan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you combine those, you have a swarm of intelligent autonomous logistics that can actually literally see their environment.
And the document gives a real-world example of this spatial autonomy. And honestly, it blew my mind.
It's a great example.
So let's say you were in an agricultural bioprocessing plant, right?
Yeah.
A pallet of raw material gets bumped by a human worker. And a massive pile of agricultural inputs just spills all over aisle 4, completely blocking it.
Okay, so the LIDAR arrays instantly detect that volumetric change. They see that the physical world has fundamentally changed. The digital twin we talked about earlier updates in real time to reflect this new massive physical obstacle. And then instantly, without any human intervention, the central AI reroutes all 20 of those autonomous AGVs to alternative aisles based on the new geometry of the floor.
That's the part that's so crazy to me. No human has to hit an emergency stop button. No manager has to, like, run down and manually reprogram the forklift routes on a tablet.
Yeah.
The physical spill updates the digital map,
Brad.
And the digital map instantly dictates physical movement. It is just a perfect air-gapped synergy.
It really is. But amid all this talk of autonomous robotics, lighter lasers, and edge AI, it is crucial not to forget that human beings still work in these facilities.
Oh, for sure.
The Sovereign Forge doesn't eliminate the human element. It builds a secure offline ecosystem around it.
Right, the human administration side. Because at the end of the day, this is still an occupational environment with OSHA regulations.
Exactly.
So the package includes a Sovereign Sentry Clinic node for the factory floor. And this runs an AI called Sovereign Executive, which handles IPA-compliant, voice-activated injury logging.
Which is super cool.
It's so cool. If a worker gets hurt, the floor nurse can just speak naturally to the system, log the incident, and the AI automatically cross-references the exact spatial location of the injury. It flags the safety protocols for that specific piece of machinery for compliance.
All automatic.
And all of this is done entirely on-premise. No sensitive employee medical data ever touches the public internet.
And for the floor managers who are trying to keep all this running, they get 5 ruggedized supervisor kiosks.
Okay.
And these aren't just static dashboards with like pie charts and graphs. They utilize a localized large language model called the Deep Admin.
The Deep Admin.
Yeah. So a manager can literally walk up to the screen covered in grease and type or say, show me the current bottleneck on line 4. Or what is the maintenance runbook for the QKA robotic arm?
So it's like having ChatGPT. But instead of being trained on just random internet articles, it has ingested every single technical manual blueprint and live sensor reading in your exact factory.
Yes.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Ooh, the buying process.
The buying process. We've talked extensively about what the system does, but how do you actually buy and receive a system that requires its own data center and completely overtakes your factory? Like we joked about this at the beginning. You don't just add this to your cart, put in your credit card, and wait for shipping.
No, absolutely not. The fulfillment process outlined in the source material is an enormous logistical and engineering undertaking in itself. It is a highly bespoke cryptographic marriage between software and heavy industry.
Yeah, the WooCommerce page makes it incredibly clear. Standard payment processes are completely out. This requires a direct wire transfer or a formalized capital expenditure purchase order.
Yep.
And once that $250,000 clears the bank, you enter phase one. And shockingly, for a product this automated, this phase is entirely human-led.
It has to be. So Deerticular engineers, they're the team behind the forge. They have to securely ingest the client's physical CAD models and building information data directly into the air-gapped forge clusters before the hardware ever leaves their warehouse.
Wow.
They literally take the physical blueprint of the client's world and use it to seed the digital twin.
So they're basically building your virtual factory inside the servers while the servers are still sitting on a loading dock somewhere.
Exactly.
And the security protocols during this phase are intense. The document says they have to mint a Forge Root CA. I actually had to look this up.
It's pretty technical.
Yeah. A Root Certificate Authority is basically the ultimate cryptographic bouncer.
Mm-hmm.
They're creating a closed digital universe where only approved devices exist. It establishes an unbreakable trust between all 300-plus micronodes and edge controllers. It ensures that absolutely no foreign device, no rogue laptop, no malicious USB drive can ever connect to this network once it's deployed on your floor.
And before they even put it on a truck to ship it to you, they run a 72-hour thermal and VRAM burn-in stress test on the GPU clusters.
Why 3 full days of testing?
Well, think about it. If a standard cloud server fails, a website goes down.
Sure.
But if one of these localized GPUs fails under the strain of processing millions of IoT data streams, that multi-ton stamping press we talked about earlier might lose its reflexes.
Oh, right. The 12-millisecond reflex.
Exactly. They push the hardware to simulate peak data ingestion for 72 straight hours just to make sure the physical silicon won't literally melt down under the pressure of running a live factory.
Okay, that makes terrifying sense. And then, only then, after 3 days of torture testing, is the whole system palletized into anti-static, shockproof transit crates and dispatched via dedicated multi-truck LTL freight delivery.
Yeah, it's quite the convoy.
Then your factory electricians have to manually wire the micronodes to the old analog machines. Field techs rack the data center. The LiDAR maps the room. And then finally, the twin aligns with reality. The factory goes live.
It is a monumental deployment. It completely redefines what it means to upgrade a facility.
It really does.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean for you listening to this deep dive? When we strip away the massive price tag, the LiDAR arrays, the intense industrial jargon, the ultimate takeaway from the Sovereign Forge is this massive paradigm shift.
Absolutely.
For the most critical high-stakes infrastructure in the modern world, where milliseconds mean the difference between a smoothly running production line and a catastrophic kinetic failure, and where intellectual property is a literal matter of national security, the future isn't about connecting everything to the cloud.
No, it's not.
The bleeding edge of technology is actually about building disconnected, hyper-intelligent, localized fortresses. They are pulling the drawbridge up, not lowering it.
Which raises an important question, actually, and it leaves us with a fascinating paradox to consider.
What's that?
Well, if the world's most advanced heavy industries, defense contractors, and biomanufacturers are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and going to such extreme labor-intensive lengths to go completely air-gapped,
explicitly to protect their physical reaction times and their private data from the vulnerabilities of the public cloud, Well, what does that say about the everyday consumer?
Oh, wow.
I mean, you, the listener, might be sitting in a smart home right now where your door locks, your security cameras, your thermostat, and even the brakes in your connected vehicle are hopelessly dependent on those exact same public cloud servers. If the engineers building the future of heavy industry don't trust the cloud with their machinery, why do we so willingly trust it with our living rooms?
That is a chilling thought to leave on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Take that thought with you, and we will see you next time.
Until then, stay curious.